Господь, его сикл к любви достанет философ. Аллах Аль-Сик, из моей истории. Section of the portion of the Rami Lady Doggy that you have been throwing off. The text to which the pilgrim of all is to recite and the occasion for us to live, offering the first good to learn in the search of this living. This text was integrated into the Alcoholic as a sample motif, as a sample film. Everything else in the Alcoholic was structured around the partial dissection of the Rami evidence. It would appear from studying the Mishneh, the Rambam, as if the recital of the Rami Eved Ovya were indispensable for the full, perfect implementation of the Mishneh, of the commandment of Sito Yitzias Mitzrayim, to tell the story of the Exodus on the 15th night of Israel. As if this partial section formed the very core, the very substance of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the question is simple, why? What prompted Chazal or rabbis to borrow the parsha of Rami Eved Ovya and integrate the latter into the Agori and simply structure everything else around that parsha? Apparently, the recital of the parsha by the pilgrim constituted an act of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. The pilgrim was duty bound not just to recite the text, but to tell the story of the Exodus of Yitzias Mitzrayim. If I should use the halachic lingo, I would say the following. The commandment to tell the story of Mitzrayim, of the Exodus, is binding upon a Jew on two occasions. One, when he offers the Bikurim in the sanctuary. Second, on the 15th night of Nisan. But it is an identical performance. The recital of the parshas Mikro Bikurim is not just a recital of a text, but it is the narrating of the events which occurred in Mitzrayim. And it is substantially, essentially, conceptual, a performance of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Torah did not specify the text we are supposed to use on the first night of Nisan. She stated in general terms the Gadot HaMedrichim. However, she did point out Israel, the text which is to be read in Beis Hamikdash at the time of Avraham's Bikurim. The list of the Malkam is there, the Shem of the Kepel, Avami Eidodi, etc., etc. The conclusion is a simple one. In this parsha, Avraham Eidodi, was recommended by the Torah as the exclusive text to be read in order to fulfill the commandment of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is incumbent upon the pilgrim who brought water of Bikurim to the Almighty. Then there is a good reason to assume the veneration of the first on the first night of Passover should avail itself of the same text. In both cases, we were commanded to tell the story of the Exodus of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Isn't it a case of A equals B, B equals C, that A equals C? Don't be discouraged, I'll come to you. I'll warm up. For the time being, you have to tolerate the halachic philosophy which prevails there. Then, the common root of both, of Rami Vedori, which is recited on the occasion of Avraham's Bikurim, offering first fruit to the Lord, and the Agada, the common root of both. Is to be found in one norm, namely that of a chorus table, of gratitude and thanksgiving. Maimonides, as well as the author of the Chinuch, the Rambam, emphasized, Maimonides not only Mere Nebuchim, but also in Sefer HaMitzvah, emphasized that the very essence of both mitzvah, of the mitzvah Mikro Bikurim and Sifrei Agada, the Ha'atzar Yilchot, the very essence, consists in experiencing and expressing the sense of gratitude to the Almighty. The nation as a whole, the average Jew, on the 15th day of Nisan, night, and the pilgrim on the occasion of his offering the first fruit in the Beis HaMikdash, who are duty bound to extol and praise the Almighty on both occasions. There is a common root by which both mitzvahs are nurtured. And that common root is the duty to acknowledge kindness and to give thanks. As a matter of fact, it's just plain habit on my part to say the Rambam and the Chinuch said it. I mean, we state it in the Agade. Lefichoch anachnu chayovim lehidit ulaholet. V'neimar lefonach shiro chadosho ha'aluko. The whole purpose of describing the events and telling the story of the Exodus is in order to give thanks to the Almighty. And as far as Mikro Bikurim is concerned, there is a pasuk in the section of Mikro Bikurim and Kesuvim, which is a very difficult one. Higadeti hayeinu ad Hashem elokecha kibosi al haoretz. What does it mean, higadeti hayeinu? I state I do state today that I have come to the land, that I've inherited the land. It doesn't have to say it to me. So Tavim Yinis in the Reveal says that the cavity has this advantage of being thankful, appreciated, indebted, of a chorus table. The cavity again, Radeshem Rekecho, I give thanks to the Lord thy God that I have inherited the land which he promised to our ancestors. The cavity not in the sense of telling, narrating, stating, saying, I mean, makes very little sense in context of the pasuk in Parash Kisove, but the cavity in the sense of Animi Shabeach, I praise, I extol, I glorify, and so forth. As a matter of fact, there is a suggestion, I mean, I'm not subscribing to it, but there is a suggestion and which merits our attention, that the word of God means Shela. Not the God of story, but means Halek. The God of Tayyim, the Shem El Kechot, Ki Bosi Elohai. It makes a lot of sense. Otherwise, this book would have been called Sipur. Why only I got it? I've got it on the Vilchot, the mouth of the Vilchot. We have also the expression, the man is Sapir Bosni Vilchot, when Vilchot is Asher Esel Alter in Mitzrayim. The Torah used many synonyms with regard to the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. There was no reason why the book, the official book on the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, should be called Agada. Unless we accept Guinness and Benazir's interpretation of the word Agada as praise or glorification of an expression of thanks. So that's why our rabbis have introduced the same text on the night of Pesach, since the root of the mitzvah one, namely Agada. God is the Hayim of the Shem Rekecho, the God is the Rekecho. At this juncture, right here, I wish to pick up the main topic of my share tonight. The topic of my share, I mean, I didn't see the card. The topic of my shir is nine aspects, but you will count them, the nine, ten, or perhaps eight, I'm not sure, but in that vicinity, between eight and ten, the nine will settle for nine, sure, compromise, the nine basic aspects of the Agada, for purely pedagogical juristic reasons, I'm doing this analysis within the context of a comparative study of Agada, a Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim recited by a Jew Pesach night, and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim recited by the pilgrim of old in the Beis Hamikdash. I believe that the comparative, within the context of the comparative study, I'll succeed not only in comparing both commandments, but also in contrasting them, to see the differences and the similarities. Let us now take up the first aspect of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we fulfill on the night of Pesach. And the problem and its relationship with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which the children fulfill. As far as the first aspect is concerned, what is the first aspect? So they say, I didn't ask about the tenth. But about the first, let me ask you. The first is simple. What is the first aspect? The halachic aspect of Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim. The first one, the very beginning, the most elementary one. What is it? Well, I went to Italy, Kaddish Lecha. I forgot it already. No. You have me wrong. You. What is the first halachic conceptual aspect? What should a Jew do in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the Karet HaLevim? What is the most primitive approach to it? It's not so primitive, I suppose. What's the most elementary approach? What is it? What is it? Give me a definition. Let us divide the mitzvah Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim into 9 parts. What's the first part? What? No. Somebody said it, to say it. First mitzvah is to say, what is the first aspect, the most elementary, the simplest aspect of Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim? And they say there, is Sipur. I mean, what is Sipur? But Sipur is a very dangerous word in this context. I'll tell you. When you say Sipur, it means it can be my own literary creation. I'm Bo Hashem literary talented, so why shouldn't I write in that way? Some people try, and have tried, and are still trying. Why not my own Sipur? I'll follow the guidance, tradition, of my own word. This is exactly why Arami Yevidobi was introduced. You tell it in the lingo of the scripture. If some people didn't understand it here, what I meant, I'll try, you have to tell it in the language of Torah Shebiksa. You don't write a story of Exodus, of Yetzirah Mitzrayim. The story which is told, the text which was fixed, the sentences and the words which were standardized, they should be repeated and read. Reading, krio. If you want, you can call it amiro, but I would prefer the word krio to amiro. Krio. To read. Not your own creation. But a parsha, a section, of Torah Shebiksav. At this stage, or at this phase, when we say Agada, what do you understand by Agada? What do you understand by Agada at this stage? Yeah. Reading of a certain fixed, standardized text. In Torah Shebiksav. And the text to be read was shown by Chazal as the Parshas Arami Eved Oreh. So you need a text, a holy text, a text of Torah Shebiksav, and yes, but I could read the Parshas Shmeis, Vayero, beautiful description of the event. Some more detail than in Arami Yevidovi. No, but that I can do. Not only must it be a text of Torah Shebiksav, the text is fixed. Standardized. Namely, which text? Arami Yevidovi. Which I can't find in Shmeis. In the Sefer Agula, in the Book of Redemption, but I have to search for it. And finally, if I have patience, I'll find it at the end of the Chamisha Chumash Torah, in Parshat Kisoni. As far as this is concerned, and that's the first aspect of Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim, means to read, and I would prefer Kriya to Amiro, I would also prefer Kriya to Agodot in this regard, because Kriya means you read the text. With regard to that, so Mikro Bikurim and Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim are almost identical. Whatever you read at Mikro Bikurim, you are supposed to read at the Seder. However, the identity of Mikro Bikurim and Agode ends here at the first aspect. Kriya is only the first aspect of Agode. There are eight more aspects of Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim. Do those aspects apply to Mikro Bikurim as well, or they don't apply at all? They're completely different. That's what we will see. Can we discover in Mikro Bikurim those dimensions which are so characteristic of the Agada? I doubt it very much. So let me analyze those aspects. One aspect we have, namely what? What's the question? Kriya. Kriya means Kriya is a partial, which was fixed and standardized by Chazal. As far as Mikro Bikurim is concerned, that's all which the Torah has required of the pilgrim who brought the Bikurim. Just reading. And only reading, nothing else. There was no need for the pilgrim who brought the Bikurim to explain what he read, to reflect upon what he read, to interpret. He just had to do mechanical reading, nothing else. However, Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim and Passover night consists not only of recital of a text, but as I said it so many times, I at least spoken 25 times about that. But now I want me to invent something new. Whatever I said in previous years belongs to you. If I should say it, I'll be accused of plagiarism. Well, let's try. Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim is basically, it's not homiletics, it's pure, strict halacha, basically a mitzvah or a neck of Talmud Eretz. Of learning in depth, of exploring the various dimensions of Yetzirah Mitzrayim, of an inquiry, or of, as Chazal call it, Midrash, the Derish with Derish kol apar shatur aram yevedot. He interprets the whole parsha. Hence, just reading the text is only one aspect of it. Reading does not suffice. One must interpret it. And if you now, if you ever got it, and the voice told me that there have been something about it, So what? How do you handle the Ramei Zayin Parsha? How do you handle these parts? How do you handle these parts? You just say Ramei Zayin Yirat Mitzrayim. Ayakashem Mitzrayim. Ayishem Gibod Lashem Ron. Ayarei Son Amitzrayim. We say it fast, quickly. Well, how do you handle the Parsha Ramei Zayin? It was integrated in the Sefer Agada. Fine, how is it handled? What do you do with this parsha? No, yes, whoever has that book should tell me. Each word is interpreted, analyzed, semantically analyzed. We are out to find the semantics of each word of the parsha. Milame. And we find those semantics by what? By comparative study. The word in Aramei Vidovi is transferred into a different frame of reference at Sefer Shmeis. And by comparing both texts, we draw the proper conclusion. So, at the second stage, Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim means interpretation of Torah Shebekhtav in terms of Torah Shebaalpeh. Hence, just reading of the text does not suffice. One must interpret it within the framework of Torah Shebaalpeh. In other words, Agado, as the word Agado, the second stage, what does it mean? A Torah Shebaal Peh analysis of a Torah Shebekhtav text. Torah Shebaal Peh analysis of a Torah Shebekhtav in biblical text. In our case, it is the analysis in terms of semantics, and also in terms of concept of the text of Rami Vedomi in accordance with the 13 principles of Midrash of Gimel Midei Shater and Midrash of Midrash. As a matter of fact, when the Gemara, when the Talmud in Broches speaks of Torah Shebaal Peh, so the Talmud divides Torah Shebaal Peh into three categories: Midrash, Mishneh, and Gemara. Midrash means interpretation of Torah Shebekhtav in accordance with the principles of Jesus and interpretation of the 13 principles of interpretation. This is Midrash. Next is Mishneh. When the Gemara speaks about Mishneh, the Gemara means Mishneh. Mishneh is as well as clear halachic decisions or judgment. Halachic judgment is Mishneh. When the Gemara speaks about, when the Gemara mentions the word Gemara, the Talmud mentions Gemara, what is the Talmud in mind? Or the text of the Talmud. But moreover, what do you call to pull a derisive is Torah thought, thinking. Create is Torah thinking, what we call Svora. Interesting is that in the Ragada we have all three groups, both Midrash of Torah Shebaal Peh, Shebekhtav by Torah Shebaal Peh, Mishneh, Halacha Brura, as well as Gemara. Gemara, logical thinking. Strict, halachic thought, thinking. Where do you have Midrash? This is the Parshas Aramei Vetoret. Parshas Aramei Vetoret. Where do you have Halachos? Ihr gehört ja der Woche. Bosch mich warm auf mich und warm auf Pesach und Jotze, der schon was ist, aber what then we say it for a different reason. Vachato em olei kluches a Pesach, im Aftiren ach a Pesach, at the Kuma. And where do you have Gemore? A deduction by the logic, intellectual activity. Mishnah Shemiyam. Mishnah Shemiyam, no, Mishnah Shemiyam is Midrash. You mean that the Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yisa, really? This is Midrash. This is Midrash. I got after all. What do you say? You are with the men, Sharon Haranate, and Lazan, the quote in other, whatever the Gemara quotes in other text. So it comes under the category of Midrash. What? Midrash again. Again Midrash. This is a logical deduction. בכל דרך ודרך האירות עומדים לסקת שני כאילויות שונה מטריים שני נרעיסון העיב ומשום בנות ועיסון העורס מתברשם על הרסי נורס עקרון פריים The foundation is Midrash every generation of one should experience the exile and the redemption but the conclusion is not Midrash but the more it means more לפיכוך אנחנו חיום עם ראילי פולהלו for the rain which was so long ago that I say now, Nisimo. Of course, you understand very well that the interpretation of Haggadah as a study in depth, as a midrashic study in depth, or an halachic study in depth, or a logical halachic study in depth, this interpretation is not applicable to Mitzvah Purim. Mitzvah Purim is just reading. But Haggadah Shel Pesach starts with reading first. The reading of a text, but the reading is converted into a study, into an intellectual activity, into Talmud. Do you have the expression or the verb hagei? In context is Talmud era. Correct? Who is Mamre? Please see Rabbi Siachim, the Siachim of Mitzvah Sora. But you started one question to Gideon. What means one question to Gideon? It means you pass on the Torah which I give you. The basis of it, and the verb which the Torah uses for one day for teaching, for guiding, all right, this is Avodah. Avodah means to study, to learn, to understand. Now, second stage of Haggadah. The third aspect of Haggadah. What's the third aspect of Haggadah? Which somebody suggested to me, because we spoke just recently, 5 minutes ago, about logical thinking, what Gemore, Svore. Will somebody use it here? And tell me, so I'm trying to practice with you. Aspect number one, technical mechanical reading. Aspect number two, study in depth. Sorry, Midrash. Now aspect number three. What do you say? I can't believe it. Teaching is correct. The Rambam says, Mitzvah le'idia le'banim. It is incumbent upon us to tell the story to children. Apparently, the Haggadah constitutes not only a study in depth, but also an act of masero, of passing on, of transmitting. One is obligated to teach and to pass on the story of Mitzrayim. It is an act of Masero Vekabola. And when the body is recited, it is not only, it is addressed not only to listeners, but also to whom? Not only to listeners, but also to whom? You can be a listener, to students, to disciples, to pupils. One can be a listener, but not be a disciple. God is not only I tell the story, somebody is listening, it's important, but I teach the story and somebody is being taught. It's exactly what Masero is. Now I would like you to prove that I'm right in this regard. That Agode at the third stage has the connotation of teaching, and I emphasize not so much, I'm not interested in teaching as in Masero, in tradition, transmitting, passing on, giving up, over from one generation to another. I'm emphasizing that. The God of Israel can be just telling the story, and he'll listen, and I emphasize that I'm not interested in listeners, I'm interested in Talmidim. I'm in the one with myself. I like to teach, I don't like to tell stories. No, what is your mind? You mentioned the Chochom already, so what's the use of the Rosh? So you won't benefit by introducing the Rosh and the Tamish in the Elish. Say Omar means Nabika from Aram, it belongs somewhere else. No. There is a funny sentence in the Agora. Very strange sentence in the Agora. And you'll find it, if you have an Agora, you'll find it before the Avor body. Just when we are about to speak about the Avor Bonim, so a funny we come across a very strange sentence whose meaning we don't understand, and if it was introduced, why was it introduced here and not at the beginning of the Avor? How do you start the story about the four Bonim? Very popular, the four sons. Baruch Hamokim, Baruch Hu, Bor Shenosan Peiro Lame Yisroel Keneged Arbor Bonin Dibroteo. The whole sentence of Bor Kamokin, Boruchu, Bor Shenosan Peiro Lame Yisroel makes no sense. It's out of context. Keneged Arbor Bonin Dibroteo, Echot Chochom, Echot Rosha, Echot Tam, Echot Bende Elisha. What's the meaning of Bor Kamokin, Boruchu, Bor Shenosan Peiro Lame Yisroel? I mean, by repeating, I'll repeat it again. By mere association, could you remind yourself of something else? By mere association, can you remind yourself of something else?
Baruch Amokim Baruch Hu Baruch Nasan Teir Olam Yisrael. Remind yourself of something. After all, we are young, we have good memory. Baruch Shama? All right, the 64,000 Marrakesh. No, the answer, no, 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 the 64,000 dollars. What? Just a minute, huh? Correct. It's an abbreviation of Birkas HaTeva. Abbreviation of the blessings we pronounce every morning, which we call Birkas HaTeva, Baruch HaTeva, HaTeshem, Rechon, HaShem, Tzitzvon, Rasim, Yudhra, Seiro, V'yarev, Yudhra, HaShem, Rechim, Yudhra, Srosu, Bifinu, Bifi, Amcha, Bifisroel, we need a nachnu with tzeinu, we and our children as well. We have said, kloni yishmecho velem yisarasecho vishmo. The Birkas HaTeva are related not so much to the study of Torah, but to teaching of Torah, particular to the act of what? Of transmitting Torah, of passing on. V'ni anachnu v'tzeteinu v'tzece amcho v'tzroel kulonu yedishmecho v'rein v'tzrasecho v'shmo. And the conclusion is this way. Baruch ato adishem not a nesen teirolam Yisrael and lamed teirolam Yisrael. The Almighty Himself is involved in the Masora community. He Himself passes on, transmit, teach it. So that's why the Birkas HaTeva emphasizes, and we pray that the word of the Torah be sweet in our mouth, in the mouth of our children, and we all, the whole community, grandfather, father, and grandson, and great-grandson, we come all together, all of them, know thy name, and study the Torah Lishmo. That's why Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu, when the Akkot, before there was no need to say, to pronounce Birkas HaTeva, before Avodim HaYim, but we did not speak of the mitzvah of what? We spoke of Sifo Yetzias Mitzrayim. When you start with Avodim HaYim, the Parahitation, Kishom Yad Chazok Yisrael Yituyo, Mirah, Yituyo, Vilu Meit HaKosh Baruch HaSim Mitzrayim Aronu, Veneinu Zeyma Neinu Mishavodim HaYim, Lefam Mitzroya, Lefam Mitzroya, Lefam Mitzroya, Lefam Mitzkenim, You don't speak about teaching, you speak about telling, about narrating, or at best about studying. You don't speak about Masora, you speak about the second aspect, but not about the third aspect, that mitzvahs, our God only expresses itself in teaching, in passing on, in turning over, in transmitting, in letting somebody share my knowledge. You don't say it. When do you begin to say? When are you ready to say it? When you are ready to pick up the third aspect? With the story of the four sons, connected our Bob and the whatever, we got all the four. But in a whoever. So it means that we are ready to fulfill or to implement not only the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but Talmud Torah, teaching and passing on and letting others share in our knowledge. So, v'ni anachnu v'tzeteinu v'tzei amcha v'tzei. That's why we remember that in order that it's worthwhile to make the say a broche benediction for the great privilege that the Shbokh has bestowed upon us. Not only to know the Torah and to study it for ourselves, but to teach it to others, and particularly to be a member of the Masora community. It's a great and strange community. It begins with Meshech Kibbutz on the Sinai and Masora Yeshua. It will never end. Once you are going to join that community, you have to pronounce each benediction. That's why you say it in an abbreviated form, namely Baruch Hamokim Baruch Hu, Baruch Shlosser Teiron Ami Yisrael. And we are going to continue. Can we get our Baruch Bonim Dirotel? So how many aspects did you cover? Who is good at math? Yeah. All right. First aspect was the first one. Reading, technical reading. And one was not blessed with a great mind. And one had no opportunity to study. And one came from a different background, was not provided with necessary knowledge, which is required for a study in depth. He can also participate and share in the Mitzvah Tzeis Mitzrayim. There is the first aspect. What is it? Just to read. He can also participate and share in the Mitzvah Tzeis Mitzrayim. There is the first aspect. What is it? Just to read. Who cannot read? Everybody can read. This is simple. Second aspect, limud for yourself, understand, explore in depth, analyze it. The third aspect is the great privilege which was granted to us to join the community of the Masora community, of which the Almighty is a member. Wouldn't you like to join that community? Don't have to pay any dues. Now you are the fourth, yes? You have to the fourth, yes. There is something else in Sifu Yitzias Mitzrayim, in the structure of the Agoda, which is relevant. Regarding the mitzvah of Sifu Yitzias Mitzrayim, the form of narration, the way we tell this story, avails itself of a dialogue, Teilah, so forth. Of a dialogue. One asks, another person answers. The whole disciple, basically, all the disciple, responds to the four questions asked by each other. Now, question, I have a fifth question. Rises. Why is it necessary? Why is it necessary to dramatize that a child should ask? And we try to stimulate the child, the curiosity of the child, in order to make him ask. The child is sleeping, he's hungry. But we try to make him ask. Why is it necessary? So why did it require this kind of dramatic conversation, of dialogue, of asking and answering, of inquiring and responding? Why was it necessary? I believe this law is nurtured by basic idea. God reveals to man
always, if man searches for him. If one is not inquisitive, if one expects God to reveal himself without making and no out effort to find him, he will never meet God. Vikashte mishom umotsoso kisidrek vikashte mishom mesarishem lekecho umotsoso kisidreshenu v'chol levo v'chol v'chol nafshecho. From thence you will seek the Lord, and thou shalt find him, and thou search after him with all thy mind, with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Nachmanides, in his comment on the verse, Mishichni Tidreshu Bosa Shomo, his habitation, they shall seek, and bitter, thou shalt come, says the following, Shetelchu lei meretz merchakim, v'tish'alu, ayi derech beis harishem. You should come to me, the Almighty says, from distant lands, and you should inquire where is the road leading to God's habitation. The searching for the sanctuary, the curiosity to know where the sanctuary is per se a great experience, redeeming and sanctifying. The curiosity hallows the efforts of man and makes the pilgrimage meaningful. When Yisrael asked Moses, what do the people do in your place the whole day? Yisrael didn't understand. Yisrael had a clergyman, he had hours for receiving congregants. And he saw that Moshe spent the whole day with the people. He asked, what did the people do in your place? Or what are you doing for the people? What did Moshe answer? The first answer, I gave a few answers. But the first answer, I want to make in quotation. Ki yoge yo omelai libreshe soleki. The people come to me because they search for God. The people are God thirsty, God intoxicated. They want to find God. They search for God, and they want guidance from me. The first night of Pesach, we try to stimulate the curiosity of the child. We try to make him inquisitive. And we want, because the story of Mitzrayim is a story of a long search on the part of many generations for God. We'll finally find him. He will come close to us. And we want the child to join this march of the Masora community. And how can a child join this march if not by asking questions during the night, during the day? To arouse the naive curiosity of a child is like making a child a God searcher. What is more beautiful than that? So now aspect number 5. What is Adonai? A search for God. Just a minute. Let's recount. Let's imagine those are balance. Let's recount. Technical reading, long next, study, three, Masero, four, search of God, four, not three. We don't assume, I hope. To search for God, not only to find God. God will never reveal himself to you personally, he's not inquisitive and doesn't search for it. Now, aspect number five. Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim, like the whole Seder, is structured around, I'm afraid to say the last word, around what would you suggest? Structured around, revolves around why? Pseudo. A meal. Nothing sensational. A meal. The framework within which the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is attained and fully realized is a plain Sudas Yom Tov, a meal, a holiday meal. You want me to prove it? Or you don't believe me? I have to prove that. So this is a great, we call it finished. You know it's simple. The first act, as a Seder, is you know what, how you begin the Seder. Miskiddush, Baraya Kaddish, the first act, the Kiddush, is an integral part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I want you to understand that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night begins with the Kiddush and concludes with what? This is the Broche of Ishtabach. Melech Kilchei Oilamim or Melech Mulad of Ishboches. The finishing Birkes HaMoz on Pesach night is not the ordinary Birkes HaMoz of an ordinary Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. It is a Birkes of Birkes HaMoz is an integral part of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And so is the Kiddush. That's why the Shulchan Aruch said that we must not recite the Kiddush prior to Shkia, to sunset. Even though we are ready to postpone the drinking of the wine until after nightfall. It's not the drinking of the wine, as the Magen Avraham wants to interpret, for the recital of the Kiddush, Asher Baruch Hapon Mecholam Reman Mecholosh. This itself is the first act of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Apparently the Kiddush and Pesach night has a double connotation, double meaning. It is Kiddush because Pesach night is holiday, a little yonder, and it is incumbent upon us to recite Kiddush, to usher in the Shabbos by the recital of Kiddush, the Shabbos and yonder. And secondly, the Kiddush itself is a part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. First of all, the Kiddush is considered as a part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And I would say that it's very simple to explain. Why? What do you say? I mean,
I beg your pardon. Yes. You said something. I didn't get it. What? No. A different business. Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah. Which course is it? Supposed to be. No. Oh, if you meant this way, say you're wrong. No. Because the Ashaboch Abonim Kolom is the third expression of freedom or redemption, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe, שלוקחת אסכם לראום, ונראה לכם בבקים. Doubt is hence, and this is basically the purpose of the Tzias Mitzrayim. So before we start telling the story of the Abod of the events in Tzias Mitzrayim, we declare right away that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has fulfilled his promise and showed us as a covenantal community and as a separate, unique nation. This is number one, correct? This is number one. But there is another reason. I believe the second reason is the true one. Sifur Yetzias Mitzrayim in Pesach night is implemented through two media. There are two media, two ways at implementation. I mean, both are necessary, are indispensable. One medium is what? What did you say? Word? Word? Spoken word. This is Agada. Second, if you said it first, you mentioned it first, what did you hear? Through eating, through consuming food. Simply. You're restrained. Because Pesach, Matzah, and Borer, eating at Pesach, Matzah, and Borer, I mean, pursues actually two objectives on Pesach or not. Namely, one objective, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of post-matzah more. Thereafter, for matzah is what was apostle of Allah, or matzah mreirin yichlu. Second, the eating of Pesach matzah more is an instrument or a medium of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Will you tell the story by eating Pesach matzah more? Not only by using the human gift of speech, the spoken word, but by acting like a natural being, eliting those particles, those religious articles, I mean, the symbolic food item, it won't fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Who said it? Rabbi Soloveitchik said it, so you don't listen. Who said it? Rabban Gamliel, of course. As a matter of fact, Rabban Gamliel in his statement, Kol Shel Omer Achle Shedvorim Eilu Tatesach L'Yotzo Yidei Chavosei, as it is stated, I mean, that the eating of Pesach Matzul Morer is a part of what? Is a part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You can tell a story by using your vocabulary. You can tell a story by doing something. And you do tell the story of Mitzrayim in two ways. By speaking, by speech, and by acting. Acting in the sense of eating. And Rabban Gamliel, what did Rabban Gamliel add? That before you eat Pesach Matzah Morer, you should interpret their symbolic significance, connotation, what they symbolize, Pesach, Matzah, and Morer. In other words, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a blend of storytelling, Torah teaching, and partaking of a meal. Funny blend. A combination of the spoken word and a physiological function, such as eating. Sude Pesach night means an intermingling of physical pleasure with Torah debate. You don't want to debate, all right? So. Of an activity which is motivated by biological pressure and which is not characteristic of men at all, it's an animal activity. This one medium, one part of security is Mitzrayim, and the other part consists of God's word. Combination of both is the story of Sipur Yetzias. This combination of both represents Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the perfection. And Kiddush ushers in the Suda Shabbos Yontem, or every Shabbos. You must not eat before Kiddush. Why? Why? One must not eat before Kiddush. Why? Because before Kiddush, whatever you eat before Kiddush will belong to Asudas Chayim. And the Jew is enjoined from consuming his Asudas Chayim on Shabbos. As simple as that. Then you know the aloha, you all know the aloha. In Kiddush or in Kim Sude. Why is it? That if I say Kiddush, and the Kiddush is not followed by a meal, so the Kiddush is meaningless. Because the function of the Kiddush is to usher in the Sude Shabbos. This is the introduction to Sude Shabbos. If Kiddush is not recited, whatever a Jew eats and consumes, is nothing but crumbs from the Siddur's Chayim. The Jew is obligated to enjoy to eat Shabbos exclusively. Suda Shabbos. I'm not speaking about Job, don't you know? Kiddush makes the Suda a Suda's Yonder. And Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Pesach night is a combination of Agode and Sude. I would rather say that Agode is structured and revolves around Sude. The frame of reference is Sude. Do you understand very well? So Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim consists not only of a mirror before it, of speaking, of saying, of pronouncing, of using my gift speech, which God bestowed upon me. But by a combination of the spoken word and physiological activity, which is being raised and elevated to great heights. By being combined with the spoken word of God. As a matter of fact, I'll just let me interject. I could have omitted it. Sude as a service. Sude as a service to God. Or Sude in the presence of God. To eat in the presence of God. A are central ideas in Judaism. Judaism wanted to achieve this, an institution, I mean, to create an institution which prima facie is absurd, that man can, in his support, can is obligated to eat in the presence of God. That eating, consuming food, is a holy function, a meaningful performance. It's something great to eat, if it is done and practiced properly. And that is, for instance, a verse like Vayomer Aaron v'chol zikni Yisrael, le'echol lechem in chesed neshek lifnei olekim, that Aaron and the elders of Israel came to eat bread in the presence of God. All such verses like v'chalto lifnei Hashem lekecho were so completely alien and the border of the paradoxical as far as the Greek civilization was concerned. In the Greek civilization, you had legends about Diogenes, who used to hide himself when he ate, because eating is an animal function, and a man should not exhibit the animality. I mean, Aristotle couldn't understand, how can you serve God with your stomach? You serve God with your mind. Jacob Schiff once visited the Yeshua Ravitzik Alfana and walked into Rabbi Aronovitz's room. He was saying Yeshir in Yeredea. The old timers still remember him. So Jacob Schiff asked the guy, what is the old man saying? What is he teaching them? So he told him what was he about Melicha, how to solve meat. So he said, I don't support institutions, religious institutions which are interested in the stomach. Of course, the first chelak of Yeredei is interest concerned with the stomach, with the abdomen, no question about it. But this is the greatness of Yom. To teach the stomach or the human body to behave in the presence of God. It's more difficult than to teach the mind to behave properly in the presence of God. If you start with the mind, you'll fail. If you start with the body, you may succeed. And whoever knows the expressions Shulchan Shalodah Mechaber, the table is like the Mizbeach, which grants atonement to the person who eats it. You understand what it means what the word Sudeh means or denotes. And around that Sude is the whole Seder structure, and Sifri Tzias Mitzrayim as a mitzvah was integrated into the Sude, into the institution of Sude. Now, what is it nowadays? What's the number? Fifth. It's not common to my sheep, so on. Of course, you'll take the second aspect, limud, the third aspect, masero, the second aspect, limud, the third aspect, masero, the fourth aspect, search of God by the child. Of course, all those aspects don't apply to mikrobikoi. Typical. Even though Mikra Bikurim is involved with Sifri Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Sifri Yetzias Mitzrayim, as far as the pilgrim is concerned, was a simple act, the reading and that's all, consisted of reading and that's all. Rimud, Masero, search of God, is typical and characteristic exclusively of the Agoda of Pesach night. Now let's pick up the fifth aspect of the Agoda, of Sipurite as well. Fifth. Oh, you count again. Why the Achichid in the fifth part? It's Sunnah, correct? Sixth. Primary mistake. Even though both Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Pesach and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim by the Mevi Bikurim, by the pilgrim, are rooted in a Korah's favor, as I stated before. The ways in which gratitude is expressed by the pilgrim and by the Jew Pesach night differ from each other. Mikro Bikurim consists of shelach or expressing thanks. Agode consists not only of shelach, but of shiro as well. What's the difference between shelach and shiro? It was an element which was completely overlooked by the Mefarshei Agoda. They identified shiro with shelach. It's completely wrong. No, what? Shelach is what? No. If you'll be less philosophical, it would help. Ah? Just a moment there. Here it is. Here, what's the song? What? Start out with a plan. Shira is spontaneous. You're right. Shira is spontaneous. But it's still. But you didn't answer my question. Nine. I might apologize later. In Mikra Bikurim, the precept of gratitude is fulfilled indirectly by telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are no special words of praise. There are no explicit words of praise. In Arami Lidovi, from the beginning to the end, there is not a single word which we use in order to express our thanks, our indebtedness to the Almighty. What do we do in Arami Lidovi? I mean, the way that pilgrim used to say, the pilgrim used to do, what? Describe the facts, narrate the story of the events which happened. All of them now were superfluous. The duty of Akora's favor was discharged by describing the events. This is considered Shevach or Hallel. What do you say about it? Is it Akora's favor? All one is supposed to do, when the pilgrim came to the Beis Hamikdash, he was to tell the truth, nothing else. What happened? I understand. There was implicit shevach, implicit word of praise, in the descriptive, in the narrative about events. Correct. I would like you to quote the Gemara. Yes, you are right. But if you don't tell the story, it's bad. There was no need for extra words of praise. All the Torah wanted the pilgrim to do is to tell the truth. And the praise is implicit in the truth. Correct? Now, yes. What's the Gemara? Yes, what's the Gemara? No. So the Gemara asked the question, why is there no Hallel on Purim? What did the Gemara answer? To read the story, the Tiras Esther is the highest praise. There are no words of praise to the Almighty in the Megillah. You just read the story, you understand the story, and by reading and understanding the story, you understand that God supervises the events and is responsible for the salvation. This itself is like, it equals praise and glorification. This is kind of priosezu himuah, with the Talmud applies to Megillah. In other words, thanksgiving is implicit in the narration itself. But on the night of Pesach, are we satisfied with just the descriptive story? Or certainly not. On the night of Pesach, the Shevach expresses itself explicitly in words of praise. We narrate, truly we narrate the whole story, yet we are not satisfied with implicit praise. We sing a hymn, here I come to your spontaneity. We sing a hymn, we recite Hallel, we say particularly Shiro Chadosha. And in Israel I told him, I'll apologize to him now. The Shiro Chadosha means spontaneous. I don't ask whether it is necessary or unnecessary. Perhaps a description just of the event would be modest praise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need Hallel, nor does he require of a person, I mean, to sing to him a hymn. Sing a hymn to him. But on Pesach night, the Jew is not only grateful, he is overflowing this great gratitude. It is a night of ecstasy when man is God intoxicated. It's the night of Anila Deidi V'Deidili, we say Shir Hashirim Pesach night. Shir Hashirim is the motto of the holiday of Pesach, of the 7-8 days of Pesach. It is the romance, Pesach initiated the romance between God and the community. Maimonides was asked, once not asked, he objected to the practice, but he asked, what right do you have to praise God and to cite many attributes of God? Who is man? Foolish man, does foolish man have a right to praise the Almighty? Does man, as Maimonides calls him, Shayim Kan Mocho Bekever, today it's Rabbi Yechem Zakkai had applied the same title to man. Shayim Kan Mocho Bekever, today is here and tomorrow in grave, foolish, I mean limited. What right does he have to sing a hymn to God? My man is objected to the Shira Yichud and Shira Kovet. So what did the Paitonim answer him? What did Chassidim answer my man? Exactly. You ask for license, I'll tell you where the license is. Philosophically, we have no license. Philosophically, it is an arrogant, it's an arrogant act. It's impudent and insolent on the part of man to say of God, okay, la Godel, Adila, Vanera. What right do you have to say? You understand what Godel is? You have access to the Almighty. For the license is to be found in our inability to suppress our longing for God and our desire to praise Him. And in men must sing a hymn to God. The hymn is foolish, yes, from an intellectual viewpoint. It's absurd. But we cannot suppress, we cannot remain passive. We have to sing, no matter how foolish. So Pesach night, the Jew asks no questions. He's overflowing with love, with gratitude. It's not enough to describe events. He does describe the narrative of it. But when it comes to the fourth cup, he feels it. And throws off all control, so to say, and begins to say Hallel. Hallel, Hallel, Agoru, the Nishpas Kochai, the Lord Hashim Hashim. Of course, Mikra Bikurim is just descriptive. The words of praise are implicit in the descriptive narration. While Pesach Nai, the words of praise, I mean, are spontaneous and explicit. Jew sings a hymn to God, whether he is qualified to do so or not, no questions asked. He has to do it because he must do it. You know the old saying, who comes to the most. Now, what the aspect? We are to seven. The Hilul Eitzi Akadish Baruch Hu Es Aresenu Menetroim Arionu Vnei Vameinu Mishubodim Oyinu Lefare Menetroim. Do you recognize the sentence? Do you identify the sentence? All right, where is it? Where is it? The beginning, where is it? No, I want to know. At the beginning of that word. Good. Next, we repeat the same sentence, of course, using different words, but the same idea. V'chol deyo modeyo chayi vodom virus esatzmei kilu yotzom mitzrayim shenema v'yisonu eitzi misho. Do you recognize this sentence? If I were to give an exam here, to identify certain sentences, how many would fail? Chodeo vodeo chai vodom liras asatsmei kivu hu yotzom mitzray. Nema veisonu heitzi misho. Where is it? In the Agoda, yes. Of course I wouldn't quote the Megillah in that. 10 days before Pesach, I wouldn't quote the Megillah. But where is it in Agoda? After we conclude the parsha Sarami Medovi, we are about what? To start Hallel, saying Hallel. So we insert the Bechodeh Modeh Chai Modom Deh Satsmei to Milotzom Retrai. This is second. There's a third quotation, we see one. V'yishu Amdol Aviseinu Velonu Shvayachot Bovado Medoleinu Lechaviseinu Akadosh Baruch Hu Matzoleinu Miyodom. Do you recognize this sentence? Yes, all right, fine. Let's analyze those three sentences. The first two you make right at the beginning of the recital. Correct? V'yu le'itza kosh boruchos ha'aseinu mitzroya. הרי אנו בנינו ובני בנינו משיבות ומגידו את הארץ מצרים. ינועלו ימי כתב, ודיבר הבגינים גם את הכל. רבי, נתוסתת הבנים פעם מצרים, ורד ווי, זה. יציאס מצרים, מזינת, נבנטוויץ', אוקר, תפר לפיים פנתי, עושה גאונו, יציפון, יציזרל הבנטוואק. Why do we say it? In order to explain our interest in events which occurred long, long, long ago. It is worth the while. What question do you want to answer by making this statement? What question do you want to answer by making this statement? Okay, what's the question? What? Irrelevance. Who is interested? You tell a story, people have got to be interested in the story. Who is interested in what happened 3,500 years ago? I'm not interested in what happened today, this morning. I certainly have no interest in events which transpired 3,500 years ago or more. So what is the answer? No, you have to be concerned with it. They merit your interest, your concern, because they are relevant to us. If not Gulas Mitzrayim, no Jewish people would have come into existence. Reonu, Vaneinu, Vnevaneinu, Meshubodim, Vaneinu, Vaneinu, Vaneinu. So it means it is relevant. Since it's relevant, what does it merit? If it's relevant, what does it mean? It's starku curiosity. It's got to be recorded and told. Which event is recorded in history and which event is not recorded in history? Huh? Relevant events, not only for the people, for contemporaries, but for future generations. And that's exactly what we said. The events which are going to narrate are very relevant to us. Because if those events hadn't taken place, the whole Jewish community would not have come into existence. The second declaration, what's the second declaration? Hold on, I want to hear something from the Lord from the tribe. What do you say in the second declaration?